you find our text in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, we thank the Lord for the privilege to be here again these days, and thank the Lord for all that He has done, all He has said. And He has said much more than we'd want to give an account for. And we thank Him for His kindness. We appreciate Brother Steve and all the Dagan Hearts and their kindness. And this meeting, we thank the Lord for the privilege of being here these 27 years. And we do not take it lightly or for granted. It is the highlight of our year to come to these days of Taylorsville. We have been since Monday morning. I want to bring a concluding thought this morning on Paul's much mores. Each time he has mentioned it, he is dealing with the depths of Christ. There's always more of Him to be had. And we've been trying to preach on the subject that Jesus is all of this and all of that, and oh, so much more. And it is in Hebrews we find the last two mentions of this much more. One of them in chapter number 9, and the other one in chapter number 12. And I want to look at these two, beginning in the one in chapter number 9, at the promises to Paul's much mores. Often wondered why he would conclude his much more promises at the end of his 18 much mores rather than at the beginning. But the more I meditated upon it and pondered it, these two promises that he leaves are the anchor that hold down the other much mores. There can be no power without these two promises. There can be no position without these two promises. There can be no portraits of the Holy Ghost without these two promises. Surely we cannot project Christ without these two promises. The one in Hebrews chapter number 9 is a promise of the much mores of salvation. I did not know if you noted or not, but there's much more to your salvation than what you think there is. If you think all you're going to do is miss hell and get heaven, you are very foolishly covered up this morning. He's got much more than that to offer to us. And then the one in chapter 12 is the much more of sanctification, the depths of it. Of course, this book was written to the 12 tribes scattered abroad. Nero was burning Christians. He loved to tar them, and he loved to set them on fire at night and take his carriage rides. And they wasn't having COVID. It was much worse than that. And he loved to put a stick up underneath their chin and watch their face while they was burning. That's who he's writing to here. And he wants to tell them as they're going to the stake not to forget this awful deep. I don't even know if you can get it or not, maybe way over your head. That Jesus is all of this and all of that and oh, so much more. And here in this text, the promise of the much mores of salvation, our dear young man's already read the text, but I would read verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Promise here about Christ's cross. Amen. He said it was through the eternal Spirit. Christ died on the cross, one of the last things he did, he dismissed his spirit, told his spirit he could go, told his lungs they could quit breathing. You ought to try that sometime, see how it works. Well, where did that spirit go? Come got inside of me. When it did, I became an eternal being. I shall never die. It is impossible for me to die. How come? The Holy Ghost is living inside of me. Genesis chapter 5, the first Adam, all of his genealogy, every one of them died. But those with the eternal spirit in Matthew chapter 1 in the genealogy of Christ, none of them ever died. I'm glad I'm a part of that genealogy this morning. Who gives him the right to cause me to live forever? I tell you who gives him the right. He is all of this, he is all of that, and also much more. Calvary took care of it all. I can say with the songwriter this morning, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. There's a promise about Christ's cross here. But I notice there's a promise here about Christ's cleansing. Says in verse 14, he offered himself without spot. What's that all about? He was perfect. I heard a preacher some time ago, I wanted to stand up and tell him he was wrong. But he's an old man, I left him be. He said that Jesus could sin, but he didn't. I don't believe a word of that. I believe he didn't because he couldn't. I tell you, I've already got one nature inside of me that sins. I don't want another one. Are you listening to me this morning? If I've got two I got to watch, I don't think I'll have time. He was the spotless Lamb of God. There was no sin in him. How in this world could he cleanse me if he wasn't spotless himself? Amen. The Old Testament in this cleansing, Exodus 32, those animals from the Old Testament, they made an atonement for sin. It had no lasting value. That little word atonement means to cover. So all they did was cover their sin. And of course, they had to keep repeating it because they kept coming back. And the Old Testament stories of trying to explain that atonement were stories like, Jesus put my sin behind his back. He will remember it no more. Put your sin at the bottom of the ocean. Took your sin and flung it as far as the east is from the west. All of them are atonement stories. Because you don't ever hear Paul repeat any of them stories in the New Testament. Because he tells us that he did not make an atonement for our sin, but he made a propitiation for our sins. It means to expiate them, to take them away. My past sins, my present sins, the sins I have not yet committed, they were placed on Christ. Time out! Hold on, preacher! I cannot believe that God took away my past sins too. was in on 10th grade on three different occasions. I never could get them verb tenses right. Maybe you could help me with them this morning. When Jesus becomes sin on the cross, would you tell me what verb tense my sins were in at that particular moment? Were they not all in the future tense? He said he took them all away. So now I don't have to go to the Old Testament little stories of the atonement, because he didn't put my sin behind his back. How come? They're gone. He did not put my sin at the bottom of the ocean, because they're gone. He did not fling my sin as far as east is from the west, because they're gone. You ever get a hold of the fact they're gone, you'll kick them back in out of your choir rope. Because see, God's demands upon man has always been, the only way he can ever see God is that he must be perfect. How's that working out for you? That perfect stuff. Because he said in Matthew 5:48, this is Jesus speaking, not Matthew. He says, be ye also perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. His demands of perfection. How in this world am I going to meet this? Hebrews chapter 10, if you want to flip over there, you can. Verse number 14, he said, for by one offering, isn't that what he did? One offering, he hath what? Perfected how long? Forever. Amen. Them that are sanctified. Oh, positionally this morning, my sins are gone. Took them away. What a debt I had with him. The old boy come to the king that day. And he owed him 10 talents. One talent, Middle Eastern days, were 20 years of wages. This old boy owed him 200 years of wages. I don't know how you feel about it. That sounds like a debt you couldn't pay. And the king forgave him all. I had a debt I couldn't pay. And the whole debt was placed upon Christ, and he took it away. Who in the world gives him the right to take my debt away? I tell you who gives him the right. He's all of this, he's all of that, and oh, so much more. I remember several years ago God making that truth big to me. I was an associate pastor in the early days for an old boy in Columbia, South Carolina. He's dead now. I believe he was the meanest white man I ever met in my life, to stand behind a pulpit and call himself a pastor. Oh, he's so mean. We always said that year we spent there learning how to not do it. So violently mean. He hired me at $100 a week. $400 a month. And I was the associate pastor. I was the choir director. I was the bus pastor. I was the youth pastor. And I was the principal of the school. You can't beat that for $100 a week if you're looking at it from his angle. And he said, bless God, I don't want your wife working either. We want you full time here. Well, to say the least, having two boys and one on the way, we starving to death on $100 a week. And I got into a little debt with the little man down the street. I know you wouldn't have never done it, but I did. At a little place called Gunner's Store. Old man Gunner owned that store. Everybody called him Old Man Gunner. I didn't. I called him Mr. Gunner. But everybody referred to him, even to his face, as Old Man Gunner. And I was running a tab with him. Old Gunner never ever said anything to me when I asked him. I said, Gunner, can I put that on my bill? Oh, yeah. Preacher, it won't be no problem. But that bill had gotten away from me. And is more than I could pay. I don't think I could ever settle with Gunner. But Daddy come to see me one week, spend the week with us. I didn't want Daddy and Mama thinking I was just poor white trash. I even went down there to Gunner's and charged a bunch of stuff where we could have food and stuff in the house. Before my daddy left that Saturday, he gave me a pretty good piece of money. I told Beth, I said, I'm going to go down there and settle up with Gunner. I said, I got enough money now. I can settle my debt. I went down there and said, Gunner, I said, get out your little book. I said, I want to settle up my account with you. He said, you ain't got no account here. I said, Mr. Gunner, I said, you crazy. You know good and well I got an account with you. What's happened with my account? He said, your daddy come by here the other day and asked me if you'd been running an account down here. I told him you were. He said he paid it in full. Oh, my father sent his son to this earth. He didn't pay part of it. He paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. I'm glad of that this morning, aren't you? I tell you, if you got one sin on the books this morning, you're going to hell as sure as where you're sitting. But if nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling, they're all gone. They've been settled. The price has been paid. His cross is much bigger than you think this morning. Well, who gave him the right to hang between heaven and earth and do that? I tell you what gave him the right. He's all of this. He is all of that. And oh, so much more. When I think of that promise this morning of salvation, about the only thing I can say, standing on the promises of Christ my Lord, standing on that promise, cannot fall. Where would that promise be the strongest for me? At the cross where I first saw the light. What would that light do for me? It would cause me to want to get near the cross. Where would that lead to? In the cross be my glory ever. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine. A wondrous beauty I see on that cross. Jesus suffered and died to do what? He pardoned and sanctified me. He did it all on the cross. He left nothing for me to do. When I think of God sending his son to die for me, I scarce can take it in that on that cross he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, how great thou art, how great thou art. He took my sin and my sorrows and made them his very own. Bore my burden to Calvary, suffered and died alone. When I think about that Jesus is all of this, all of that, and so much more, I have to say I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus of Nazarene. And I wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. And about the only thing I can say is, oh, how my marvelous. Oh, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. I was wondering this morning if you need a focus adjustment. Get your eyes off of your little old mess. Your little old trying to be this and trying to be that and turning this leaf over and turning that leaf over. You know, your grandma and your papa Adam, they made them little old fig skirts. That's because their conscience was bothering them. Them things started withering as soon as they put them on, started rolling up. There's like these little old gals that put them short skirts on. No, they shouldn't have them on. They're constantly pulling on them. That's the way Adam and Eve was. He come over there and killed that lamb, stripped them of those fig leaves, and clothed them with those robes. I can imagine that Adam and Eve never got too far from them robes. Those robes stayed white as snow the whole time they had them. And if I'm mistaken, please forgive me. If we could find out where the two of them are buried today, they probably had them robes on when they buried them. That's what Calvary did for me. It robed me in the righteousness of Christ. And when God looks at me this morning, he no longer sees me, but he sees his darling son. And it's all because Jesus is all of this, all of that, and oh, so much more. That's the sermon, preacher. I'm wore out. I don't think I can get much more.